What's up, Dog Pound? Nathan Zagura alongside Sir Andrew Gribble. We did it last week. We're going to do it this week. We're going to keep doing this as we go through this offseason. Get ready. We talked about some of the Browns draft from a mock draft standpoint, but now let's look at the position that matters the most. It's the quarterback, Sir Andrew, and a lot of talk about these quarterbacks.
Yeah, this is a weird year because you're not seeing the quarterbacks consistently at that number one and number two spot. Reminds me a little bit of 2013 when you had, Jadeveon Clowney,
yep,
or that guy at the top of the draft, and then you just had the QBs kind of falling somewhere because a lot of teams could use a quarterback, but it's whether you're willing to pull the trigger at that early spot in the draft for a lot of these quarterbacks who are, frankly, pretty unproven.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. And obviously, there's a lot of speculation about Jimmy Garoppolo as well. Some people saying Ed Werder and Peter King that he's not going to get traded at all. And then you have Albert Breer respectfully disagreeing with his colleagues and Adam Schefter saying somebody's going to come and make an offer for the Patriots that they won't be able to refuse. So that's going to be interesting how he plays. It's almost like he's a part of this quarterback class, even though he's not. It'll be interesting to see if that happens prior to the draft or at all.
And I think if we'll have an answer before the draft, I think one way or the other, if Garoppolo ends up on another team, if the Patriots come out and say he's not getting traded, and then the focus on the quarterbacks in the draft is going to go to another level. Because I don't think the hysteria, the frenzy that you would have expected going into this draft about the quarterbacks has reached that level yet this year because of all the Garoppolo chatter and maybe the uncertainties with all these quarterbacks.
All right, so we're going to start going through this, and what we want to do is get your questions as well. So be sure to hit us up on the Facebook live feed. You can ask your questions right in there. We'll get them or send them via Twitter, and we'll get those questions and we'll get there. Bob Schaefer's like, get Trubisky. We're going to get to Mitch in just a second there, Bob. Don't you worry about it. But let's start and take a look here at the first quarterback in these mocks, and that's Deshaun Watson. And I think what's interesting about this class, Gribbs, is that there is no consensus about who the top quarterback is. Some people think it is Watson. Some people think it's Trubisky. Some people think it's Kaiser. And then there's a wild card that we'll talk about later. Some people think it is as well. But let's start with Watson, probably the most high-profile guy coming off that national championship win. And, you know, when you read what scouts have to say, it's like some people think he's a late first, early second. Some people think he's a mid-round pick. But you look at the mocks, he doesn't go outside of the top 12 in any of these mock drafts.
Yeah, and I don't know why. I'm surprised by that because I think that he's a really polarizing prospect who you hear a lot of anonymous scouts saying, I wouldn't use a first or second round pick on this guy. Because he's almost a byproduct of too much exposure. He's played a lot on the big stage. He's been a starter for multiple years, whereas the other two quarterbacks, Kaiser and Trubisky, they're victims of a lack of exposure, a lack of all of time as a starting quarterback. So Watson has had all of his flaws picked apart, has been kind of maybe labeled and compared to other quarterbacks in the NFL who have not had success because they were run first and weren't good in the pocket. And he's going to be trying to prove this is wrong. And I think without going to the Senior Bowl, he invited even more skepticism,
sure,
about what kind of quarterback he is. But I think that talk is going to diminish a little bit at the combine. The key for him is how he's going to throw, if that delivery is sped up, and whether or not he can really prove, like Marcus Mariota has proven, he's more than just a runner and can really perform the pocket.
Yeah, I think the key for him is going to be how he does on the whiteboard, what he can do and go in there in terms of breaking down defenses, and what he would have to do to win from the pocket. Because I think his athleticism, that's not under question. Now, it's interesting. You have two to the 49ers here, Chris Burke from Sports Illustrated, Todd McShay as well. That would be a fit with Kyle Shanahan. Now, Kyle's success, he's had success with the quarterback who can move with a young RG3, but for the most part, it's those pocket passers who can see the field, deliver the football. Yes, he likes to use the bootleg, but that Schaub wasn't the most athletic guy and was able to do it very well for him back in Houston.
And there's a lot of talk about Schaub going to the 49ers now. With Shanahan, you wonder, does he want him as a backup or does he want him as a bridge and then make your move on quarterback the next year? I think that's going to play a lot because the 49ers, like the Browns, they're in a mode right now where they need a little bit of everything. I think the talent-wise, they could use help at most every single position on the field. And Shanahan and John Lynch are going in with pretty much a clean slate. And I think because of the fact that they've fired head coaches the last 2 years, they're going to have a longer leash, I think, than these two regimes. So they know they can build this thing slow in the right way and not have to find that quarterback right
now. And what is interesting as we go through these slides, you will see that these quarterbacks, some people think, are worth the number two or the number three pick, yet none of them are number one overall to the Cleveland Browns, which I think says something about the quarterback class, but also says something about how these people view Myles Garrett as being a transcendent product like Jadeveon Clowney in that draft you mentioned. Six to the Jets here from Rob Rang. And the Jets, they have four quarterbacks, but they have no quarterbacks. And then the big one here is the Bills. You have three guys having pegging Deshaun Watson to this Bills team: Daniel Jeremiah, Mel Kiper, and Dane Brugler. And the Bills are a team that many say could be the one that moves up if there's somebody to go make a play for a quarterback. They have a decision to make on Tyrod Taylor. Will be interesting to see what happens there. But that is the most popular landing spot right now for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, the Bills are an interesting team, though, because if you draft a quarterback with that first-round pick, are you signaling that you're going to maybe take a couple years to get to where you want to be? Because I think the Bills, they had a team that was maybe a couple wins away from making the playoffs, and you wonder if they try to maybe plug in a veteran there and move on or try to get Tyrod Taylor back. I think that's – if they do bring back Tyrod Taylor, which looks unlikely – then you can probably eliminate them from taking him at number 10.
I think you're right. And then Matt Miller, the lone guy who has Deshaun Watson, coming to the Cleveland Browns there with the 12th overall pick. So range from 2 to 12 there. The Bills, the most popular landing spot for Deshaun Watson. As we roll through now and we get to the local kid, Mitch Trubisky. Again, you see the same thing. Picks 2. This is a lot for Trubisky. The most common landing spot is the Niners. Mel Kiper, Brugler, Matt Miller there. The Jets again, because people just say they don't have a quarterback, they need one. The Bills for Mr. Charles Casserly. And then McShay actually has Trubisky at number 12 to the Browns. Now, what's interesting about that is if you like a quarterback enough to take him at 12, don't you like him enough to take him at number 1, Gribbs?
I think so. And that's why if the Browns do identify one of these quarterbacks that they really like and want to build around moving into the future, I just have a hard time believing that they'll be patient and think that that quarterback will just fall to them at number 12. That's a risky way to do it. I think a couple teams might have fallen into that trap a couple years ago with Teddy Bridgewater at the end of the first round.
Yep.
Thought they might get him in the second round. The Vikings trade up and go grab him. I think that's the thing you have to worry about. Even if you identify just a couple teams, you have all your intel that those teams ahead of you are not picking that quarterback, you can't discount the other 19, 20 teams behind you.
Now, all 7 mocks that we're looking at had Watson going in the first round. All 7 also have Trubisky going in the first round. The outlier, Daniel Jeremiah, 23 to the Giants, is, I guess, the succession plan for Eli Manning. And what's interesting about these quarterbacks, which will bring us back to Jimmy Garoppolo, is that nobody thinks that these guys are ready to step in and start day one. Now, again, nobody thought that Dak Prescott was ready to start day one. Nobody thought Carson Wentz was ready to start day one. They both had good rookie seasons. But Jeremiah has the Giants, a team that you think is close to, you know, right on the cusp with that improved defense, using a first-round pick on Trubisky.
Yeah, we talked about this last week. I just don't buy it. I just don't see them using such a valuable pick with a roster that they have now that's a couple pieces away from really potentially winning the NFC. I just don't see them drafting a developmental quarterback. Maybe I could see them maybe going second, third round, but not first round.
All right. Now, well, Dusty Irwin, he's on Facebook. He says, bring Jimmy G to Cleveland. And I think that's a popular sentiment because, as we've said, these quarterbacks, the range on what people actually think of them is varied. Nobody thinks there's a surefire step in and start number one, because if he was, there'd be no question that quarterback would be linked to the Cleveland Browns in every mock draft. Which brings us to Garoppolo. And Nate wants to know, if we trade for Jimmy G, do you want us to still take another quarterback in the draft?
I do. I want to keep stockpiling that position because you're going to assume Cody Kessler is back and probably in that backup role, but you've got spots to fill on that roster as well at the quarterback position. We don't know about Robert Griffin III moving forward, where his role will be with this team or without this team. I just think that you need to keep adding to that spot each year. You see teams, even with established quarterbacks, always take a swing at the plate with a quarterback in the mid to late rounds.
Yep.
The Chiefs have done it year after year. The Packers did it with Aaron Rodgers. They used a second-round pick when they still had Aaron Rodgers on their team. So I think there are a lot of quarterbacks you can cluster in that. We'll talk about a little bit later on that you were willing to take a chance in, probably starting late in the third round.
Yeah, and Trubisky, as we see here, again, from 2 to 23, the most popular spot for him, the 49ers, and Trubisky. The knock, not a lot of starts. That's the biggest thing, is why didn't he beat out Marquise Williams 2 years in a row? And, you know, hey, he started last year, looked good in limited action, very accurate. I think there are some mechanical concerns with his lower half, especially on the deep ball and on throws to the left side of the field. That's something he's going to have to address and really try to show that he's improved, I think, at the combine this year.
Yeah, just to talk about it a little bit, that's the one argument I don't like against him, that he didn't beat out Marquise Williams.
I don't care about that
either. A great college quarterback, and sometimes you just have a good college quarterback, you're not going to shake things up because this guy might be a little bit better. You're going to ride with the guy with the experience. Williams got a cup of coffee in the NFL with the Green Bay Packers in the preseason. He was pretty, he was just a good college quarterback that you're not going to take out of that position, even though you have a guy who was patient, waited his turn. A lot of quarterbacks would have transferred. He stuck with the Tar Heels, made the most of his 1 year, and now look where he's at.
And now he's got an opportunity to go in the first round of the draft. Jeff Reynolds says he'd be good with Tyrod Taylor or Mr. Watson. We saw Deshaun Watson on the very first slide. It'll be interesting to see because some people think if Taylor's gone, it's going to be Watson who goes to Buffalo. Dave Baker says no quarterback, get a defense. Dave, my brother, we got to get a quarterback. That's what the whole NFL is about. And I'll ask you as a couple pieces of evidence. Go ahead and watch the game. between the Oakland Raiders and the Houston Texans in the playoffs this year. The Oakland Raiders had Derek Carr. He got hurt. They go in that playoff game. Did they have a chance? No. Had a great defense. Khalil Mack on that defense, the defensive player of the year. In fact, last year, same thing. Look at the Texans. Defensive player of the year. You have J.J. Watt. You have Brian Hoyer, one of the worst performances of all time. You need a quarterback in the National Football League.
And for the Browns, it's not just that you need someone that's going to come in and be a top five quarterback in the year. You just need someone that's going to hold the position down for multiple years.
Right now.
Because then you can start building other parts of the roster. You don't have to focus on the quarterback every year when you go into a draft, and that just makes the rest of your roster better. I think the sense of stability it brings to an organization just makes for an overall better feeling. I would love to never have to write eight different times that, you know, this guy's going to start this week, that guy's going to start this week. You just get better with that guy under center, and year after year, builds and builds, and you become a more stable organization, which is what the Browns are looking for.
All right, Michael McCoy says the offensive line needs to be addressed, and I think that the offensive line is actually in better shape than people think about. And, you know, you have an opportunity to bring back Austin Pastore, you get Greco and Betonio back healthy. I think they could make some moves there, but we know Joe Thomas is here. I actually think the offensive line, and it graded out, you know, looking at Pro Football Focus, which is objective in the middle of the league, what the Browns need to do is get the ball out quicker. That's something the quarterbacks did not do, and that's the one thing. If Tyrod Taylor doesn't turn the ball over, that's great. Dual threat guy. Been to the Pro Bowl. First guy since 2002 for the Bills. But he held the ball longer than anybody in the league. The Browns had four of the top six in terms of time holding the ball in the pocket. That leads to sacks.
I think for the offensive line, I don't say get addressed, get healthy. I think that's the key thing with Betonio and Greco. I think there's an opportunity. You can add a key piece in free agency. If not, maybe add a key piece early in the draft. Probably not in the first round, though. This is a pretty weak draft for elite offensive line talent.
All right, let's go to the next slide, which who I think is the most intriguing quarterback prospect in this draft. And Chris Engel says DeShone Kizer is going to be the best quarterback in this draft. And he certainly has the potential. I think when you talk to most people, whether they rank him as the top quarterback and some don't, and obviously you look, he's only in the first round in four mock drafts here. Daniel Jeremiah, for example, has him as his best quarterback in the draft. Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft doesn't have him going in the first round. He says, that's my eyes versus my ears. He can do it all. 18 rushing touchdowns, so very effective near the goal line, but really more of a traditional pocket passer. Throws the ball kind of like Jameis Winston. Can make every throw, comfortable in the pocket, but was inconsistent. Had a rough year at Notre Dame as they went 4-8, and that program had a tough year. And I think those are the questions about Kizer. You can see the good is better than the good of anybody else in this draft class, but the inconsistency rears its head. I think he's going to be interesting to watch how he ascends. I think he's going to ascend between now and draft day.
I know you're a big Kizer guy among this class. I know you're a Jimmy G guy as well, so
it
comes
with
a preface on that. But I'm just wondering, tell me why I shouldn't be worried that he quarterbacked a losing season, which when you look around the NFL, not many quarterbacks when they were in college were a part of losing teams.
No, you have to go back a long way to find ones who are truly successful. John Elway comes to mind. Phil Simms comes to mind as well. But when you look at a guy like DeShone Kizer, for me, I think he was a product of his environment in the sense that that environment, I think, was dysfunctional. I don't think Brian Kelly did a very good job there this year. And when I watched his tape and I watched all of his games from last year, what I saw was a guy who looked like an NFL quarterback, made plays from the pocket, good, was able to shift around from the pocket, make every throw at every single level. And underrated athleticism. You saw the inconsistency, though. And so when I look at it and I say to myself, look, Hugh Jackson goes up there day after day, and when he talks to the media about quarterbacks, says, just get me the guy, I can get the best out of him. This guy, to me, has the most gifts, and I believe in Hugh Jackson and this coaching staff to get the best out of him. So if I think I've got the best quarterback coaching staff in the league, I want to give him the guy that's got the best tools, and I think that is Kizer. But there you're no question about it. What happened this year at Notre Dame, that's why you're seeing this. I think this is much more based on concerns. And look, third, Matt Miller, Dane Brugler, Chris Burke, 12th, Rob Rang, 12th. So most linked to the Browns of any of these quarterbacks, but only four of the seven in the first round, and I think that's a big reason why.
I think if we're looking to compare this to last year's draft, I think he's this year's draft's Paxton Lynch. I think that there's a lot of
Much better thrower.
But in terms of where he's at right now, heading into the combine, there's a lot of uncertainty about Lynch because of his experience and where he was playing at Memphis. And then he answered some of those questions at the combine, and then he rose into that first-round status. I think the similar thing might happen with DeShone Kizer. I think all three of these quarterbacks will go in the first round somewhere. It's just interesting to see where he goes because if, say, the Browns draft Kizer, you would be wondering, did they address the position in free agency as well, bring in a veteran arm?
Probably.
Or are they going to draft another quarterback in the third or fourth round?
It'll be interesting to see. And again, I think when you see this guy throwing and he gets on those interviews, it's going to be interesting. Keep the comments coming and the questions coming. Speaking of Kizer, Kendall Kizer says, take Davis Webb in the second round. Spoiler, we're going to get there. Corey Midgall says, Mahomes, we're going to get there, I promise. Justin Levy says, I want Kizer and RG3. And then Mr. Anonymous says, what's the gap between Garrett and the second best edge rusher? It seems to be wide in the sense from the scouting community. They see Garrett as a prospect on par or better than Clowney and Khalil Mack.
Yeah, he's just a freakish athlete who I think the reason why there's some skepticism about Garrett is the fact that he didn't perform great against SEC competition. But we've had Texas A&M beat writers on CBD talking about he's double, triple teamed, dealt with an ankle injury all year. But just a freakish athlete that if you are getting the comparisons to Khalil Mack, Jadeveon Clowney, you've done something right. And I think that's why he's at that level. The importance of pass rushers has never been higher in the NFL because it's all about the quarterback, stopping the quarterback and protecting the quarterback in that order with how guys are getting paid. That's why Garrett stands above. There are some other good edge rushers in this class. I think Taco Charlton comes to mind from Michigan. He's kind of a riser. But I think there is a big gap between one and two there, probably larger than any other position on the field, maybe outside of inside linebacker where Reuben Foster kind of
stands. And I think that's why he's the consensus number one guy on all these boards. Even here you see quarterback Kizer, third overall, not first overall. We know that the Browns need a quarterback. Leonard Hicks says Patrick Mahomes. No name, Mr. Anonymous. He says Solomon Thomas is underrated. I think he's going in the top 10, so I don't think that's underrated. Solomon Thomas, a good defensive player. Now, you talked about Mahomes. You talked about Webb. Some of you want him. Let's go to the next one. These are first-round quarterback hopefuls. Davis Webb will start off with him. He was down there at the Senior Bowl with you. And after that, Pat Kerwin said nobody helped themselves more at the Senior Bowl than Davis Webb, maybe vaulting himself into second-round consideration. Remember, he took over for Jared Goff and actually put up just as good a numbers in that Bear Raid offense.
Yeah, he had a great week, and I think that first day of practice, he was running under center and out of a huddle for the first time really in his life. I mean, he was at Texas Tech before he was at Cal, air raid offenses at both places, and he answered the week with a focus on proving the skeptics wrong and, you know, maybe trying to answer, you know, if Jared Goff got all this hype, why am I not getting any?
Yeah,
put up big numbers at Cal. They just, not a team that's on the radar a lot weekly in the college football because they're kind of middle of the pack and the Pac-12 playing late, all those reasons. The big thing with Webb is that it's just effortless watching him throw the deep ball. It's just the natural flick of the wrist, and he just performed at every step of the way at the Senior Bowl, and that's why he's gone from a guy that was just considered a day three lock to now being talked about as a day one or day two guy.
Yeah, and in fact, an NFC executive was quoted as saying today that he's going to be the best quarterback in this draft, which will be interesting if it plays out. And the Browns did have an opportunity to be with him at the Senior Bowl. Ian Snyder saying he'll take Tyrod Watson, Tyrod Mahomes, or go all in on Jimmy G. I like that. And here, let's talk about the other guy. Speaking of Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes the second. This is a guy that I like a lot. And I think he's starting to climb up, and now you're starting to see those reports. Maybe the best quarterback in this draft. And part Matt Stafford, part Brett Favre, part even, dare I say, John Football. A lot of improvisation, great arm. Mechanically, maybe not the most refined guy, but he can do it all from a tool standpoint. And good on the whiteboard, that's what they're saying about him. I like this kid, and I think if you were to bring in a veteran and get a guy to be a project, maybe a 33, this guy, again, as Hugh Jackson said, he's the guy to work with quarterbacks. This guy's got a ton of talent.
Yeah, I think the interesting, really, and you hate to hold this against players, individual players, because every player is different, but he is a victim right now of the program he plays for, because you just don't see
where he left.
You don't see quarterbacks from that school succeed at the next level because it's just such a different kind of offense that really can inflate your statistics to kind of absurd levels, but doesn't let you make those NFL throws. I think the difference with him is you see some of those NFL throws with what he's been able to do. But you even look within that offense. You look at Michael Crabtree, who's at Texas Tech, looked great there. It took him a few years in the NFL to really get it going and really catch on with the intricacies of an NFL offense and what's demanded out of you. I think that's the big question mark with him. And I think it's going to be a big enough question mark that keeps him out of the first round. I just think that there's just going to be a reluctance to draft a Texas Tech quarterback.
If he's sitting there at 33, I think that is a great opportunity for the Cleveland Browns to get a quarterback that they can bring along who could be the guy in the future. And I think as you see here, and we'll do this again, as we said, leading up to the draft, I think at some point, he's going to be listed here in the first round. He's going to get into the first in some of these mocks. I don't think there's any real question about that. Now, Eric Abranowitz says, bring in Nathan Peterman, being compared to Derek Carr. What did you think of Peterman, the quarterback out of Pitt?
He was solid, and I think he had an interesting college career as well. He went to Tennessee, really totally flamed out there, just wasn't going to win the job, transferred to Pitt and kind of resurrected his entire career. He had a very solid week. I think he entered the Senior Bowl week as maybe considered the best quarterback, and then Davis Webb kind of outperformed him. But clearly, the thing that stood out to me with Peterman is in the game, which no one seems to pay attention to in the Senior Bowl, but the actual game, the Bears coaching staff played him a lot. I mean, he was by far that team's best quarterback on that day, so they used him a lot in that game. I think he's solid. He's not going to blow you away with his size, not going to blow you away with his speed or his arm, but he has kind of, he's just a solid quarterback that I think is probably looking at, you're looking at like a third or fourth round.
I think it will be interesting to see there. Michael Tankersley says, go after weapons for Cody Kessler. Patrick O'Connor echoing that. He says, I like Kessler. I think he could work out. And I think in Cody Kessler, you saw a guy who had good efficiency, showed you some good things, could have led you to a win over Miami and Washington, but also had trouble staying healthy in the rigors of an NFL season. And also, he didn't do anything that makes you say, we don't need to draft somebody else. Could he develop into that guy? Absolutely. I think you want to see him get maybe a little physically stronger, drive the football a little more. But Cody Kessler showed you a lot of good things, but I think he's a guy that you want to pair with either a Jimmy Garoppolo, a veteran, or one of these guys that we talked about here so far in the draft.
Yeah, I think Kessler's a part of this team's immediate future.
Absolutely.
Going forward, you use a third-round pick on the guy, he's going to be in your future for at least a few years. I think the thing is, he's going to get a chance to work on his game in the offseason, work on maybe those NFL kind of throws, the 20, 30-yard intermediate route throws, and come back healthier, better, and he will be given the opportunity, especially if he's matched up with a rookie quarterback, the opportunity to compete for to be the 2017 starting quarterback. I don't think that has not been ruled out. I think people have prematurely said he's just been wiped out of the consideration at the quarterback position.
I don't think that's true.
It's just, I think he's going to be in the picture, and I think it's just a matter of him improving, getting better. We've seen guys make leaps from year one to year two. Clearly works really hard. Teammates respect him, love his preparation and mentality. I think if he adds to his game in that way, he has a chance to make a mark in 2017.
Yeah, no question. Listen, the fact of the matter is you want to get as many good quarterbacks as possible for this franchise, and Cody Kessler, I do think, is a part of that quarterback room for the foreseeable future. All right, let's cycle through. So we talked about the mock drafts and where they have them. We started with Deshaun Watson. He was in all seven, never lower than 12th. Then you look at Mitch Trubisky, and then you see right there Watson. Trubisky in all seven, lowest is 23rd, most likely landing spot the Niners. For Watson, it was the Bills. And then you get to Deshaun Kizer, only in four of the seven in the first round, which I thought was an interesting thing. But you see as early as three, as late as 12, two guys have him going to the Cleveland Browns. Webb and Mahomes not in the first yet. I do think Mahomes will end up in the first. But these are mock drafts. And let's go to the rankings. Mike Mayock is one of the best analysts in the game today, and he just released his top five quarterbacks, and you're going to see this a lot. Deshaun Kizer at the top of the list. Could it be what happened at Notre Dame? Could it be the inconsistency? For whatever reason, as of now, he is on a lot of people's either the number one ranked quarterback or the guy that they all agree has the most potential. And to me, from a philosophical standpoint, if you're looking at the quarterback position and you're saying nobody here is walking in as a day one starter, don't you want the guy with the most potential?
Yeah, I think that's what makes this interesting. And I think when you corresponded with Daryl Jeremiah for his mock draft, he said he's listening to his ears, not his eyes. He likes Kizer as a quarterback, but he's hearing these other quarterbacks more interesting to other teams. I think Kizer is the one guy, he has that highest ceiling. I think that is something that most can agree on. And I think there are maybe safer picks. So when you have that high ceiling, you maybe have a higher flame-out potential. And I think that's what's going to concern teams from using that first-round pick. And it's always tough for a team to use a first-round pick for a player that they're not ready to play right away.
So here's an interesting one. So we had a guy from NumberFire on Cleveland Browns Daily today and did a statistical analysis of these five quarterbacks. In fact, actually, I think maybe it was just these four quarterbacks that we looked at today and gave a statistical profile on them coming out of college, who ranked the best. This actually wasn't Webb. Brad Kai actually ranked the best in their study, but a similar profile to Byron Leftwich, which I said, how's that the best if that's Byron Leftwich? Nonetheless, Patrick Mahomes, they liked Patrick Mahomes, second best overall, compared him to Steve McNair coming out of college, which we know went on to have a very good NFL career. Deshaun Kizer was towards the bottom with Trubisky, but they actually, his profile was similar to Joe Flacco, who we know has gone on to be very successful in this division and win a Super Bowl. As for Mitch Trubisky, compared him to Mark Sanchez coming out of college, which he is right. And I can't remember off the top of my head for Deshaun Watson, but he was middle of the pack, and it was not a quarterback that went on to have a great NFL career. The two that actually were with quarterbacks that had great careers were Kizer and Mahomes, which is interesting. And Austin Watts says, Mahomes over Watson, Trubisky or Kizer? I think I like Kizer the best, and we can talk about our own kind of just preferences. Again, I think that you can make the case for all of these guys to be your starting quarterback and feel good about it, and you could make the case against all of these guys, which is why nobody is that number one automatic lock to the Cleveland Browns, who we know need a quarterback. But if I was doing it right here from these five, I'd go Kizer one, Mahomes would slide up to two, Trubisky would be three for me, I would drop Deshaun Watson to four with Davis Webb there at five.
I think I slide Trubisky to one, Kizer two, Watson three, Mahomes, Webb, 4-5.
What makes you nervous about Mahomes? Just because he's too wild? I mean, he's wild. He's a wild child.
He's a gunslinger, and it's just the offense. It's just such a major adjustment to the NFL. You know, Cliff Kingsbury is doing what he does to win games at Texas Tech. Yeah. They like offense in Lubbock. That's the style of football they like playing. They did it with Mike Leach. They do it with Patrick Mahomes and Cliff Kingsbury. It's a major transition. You can't draft Mahomes and think he's going to start a game for you right away in year one. We saw the transition Cody Kessler had to make year one, and he came from pro-style offense at USC. This is a major adjustment from college to the NFL, and it's compounded when you're playing what is essentially a different game when you're at Texas Tech, and that's what worries me. Trubisky is what I like because I think he's got the good mix of he can fit in a pro-style offense, but I think his mobility is underrated. He can get you first downs with his legs. I think his mobility, I'm not comparing him to this player, but I think his mobility is underrated on the same level that Andrew Luck's mobility is underrated. I think that it's something that people don't think about when they look at him as a quarterback, but I think that that's part of his game, and I think that's something that Hugh Jackson can work with a quarterback that can be a quick release out of the pocket, but then also get you yards of play.
What do you think about the mobility and I think it's underrated athleticism with Kaiser as well. People, when you tell people he had 18 rushing touchdowns last year, it's like, wait, what?
Yeah, he's a big guy.
He's a big guy, and he's crafty around the goal line. He's not going to go run around the field for you, but he's another guy with, I think, that presents more dual threat than perhaps people realize while being a pocket passer.
I love his upside, but I'm simplistic in this thinking. I'm worried about how he couldn't elevate that team amid their struggles, but it's still Notre Dame. Yeah. You're still surrounded by a lot of talent. Brian Kelly has taken a team to a national championship, so he can't be that bad of a coach. That's what worries me. They were just so bad this past year for a school that never really is usually that bad. And I think that's concerns me because I know quarterback wins can be an overrated stat, but
certainly
at the college level, it worries me just because there aren't, like you said, there aren't many examples of quarterbacks at losing programs going on to success at the NFL.
And I think the interesting thing is, too, is on the other side, though, there really isn't a correlation between being a winning quarterback in college and success in the National Football League. It'll be interesting to see how that pans out. Again, those are Mike Mayock's top five quarterbacks. So we're talking about the rookies here, potential rookies here, but also at the same time, they're veterans. We talked about the Jimmy Garoppolo option and a lot of talk about that. Many people, and again, the number fire guy today said no question would be the best guy in this class. You should get Garoppolo if you can. But then there are a couple other names. Tony Romo, number one. Tyrod Taylor, number two. Jay Cutler could be cut as well. What do you think about Tony Romo? To me, obviously, we know he can play at a high level. This doesn't seem like the fit for where Tony Romo is in his career, to me.
And it doesn't really match the direction that the Browns are going, I don't think. I think this is a team that's building around guys that are either coming out of the draft or maybe hitting that stride in their career, that fourth, fifth year. You saw the commitment to Jamie Collins, guys like that. That's why I'm reluctant. And with Romo, I think he's looking to win the ring right now. The Browns are looking to win the
Denver,
ring right now, too.
Houston,
but there's a lot. It's an intriguing thing. I think Denver and Houston make a lot of sense for Tony Romo. I don't view him in the picture. A guy you didn't mention is someone that's a polarizing player as well, Mike Glennon out of Tampa Bay. We've seen what he can do. He has the size and what we see as the arm. He just hasn't played much in the last 2 years because he's behind Jameis Winston. He's going to be on the market, and someone's going to pay him some money, whether or not it's to be a starter. But I think whoever does sign Glennon is going to give him the opportunity to start. I think he's going to have a chance. And you wonder about how you view a player like that who is, like I said, he looks like an AFC North quarterback with that 6'6" height.
Yeah, he's a big guy, big arm. We actually saw him play against the Browns here a couple of years ago. I think Mike Glennon coming out of NC State, good hype, third-round pick. Some of the guys really did like him coming out. It'll be interesting to see how the league views him now. Chris Engel says Tyrod Taylor is the best bet for this team next year. I don't know about that. I see where people say, well, he liked RG3, so he wants that dual threat quarterback. But really, the history of Hugh Jackson says he wants a pocket passer with a strong arm who can win standing up and delivering the football, not necessarily running around.
I will say, if you bring in Tyrod Taylor, you're bringing in a guy who has proven that he can, at his best, he can be in the top half of quarterbacks in the NFL. And I think that would be a major upgrade right now.
He
can stay healthy. He can help you win right away. It's just what you're looking for. If you're looking for someone with the highest possible ceiling at the position, I think there are other options out there as well. But, you know, it's one of those things where that's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. And there's a lot of balls in play, because if you maybe commit to Tyrod, then maybe you're limiting yourself with what you maybe want to do in the draft, and maybe if you later fall in love with one of the guys in the draft, you're maybe less likely to take them in the first round after you made that commitment to Tyrod Taylor, who's still pretty young.
Well, and you could end up going with a guy like Tyrod Taylor and then bringing in a DeShone Kizer or a Mahomes there at 33, or maybe you move into the end of the first round to get one of those guys. A lot of options. I think the biggest domino in all of this is Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that the teams that want a quarterback, I think he is number one on their list. We know it's the Bears' top offseason priority. Could be for the Browns. We don't know. But I think once that domino falls, either he's going somewhere or he isn't, that's going to make this, the draft class, look a lot better, come into focus as well as the free agency class there at the quarterback position. Thank you so much for all the comments and all the questions. Thanks for being with us. We'll keep this going throughout this offseason as the Browns get ready for the draft, free agency, et cetera. We'll be breaking it down all offseason long here at ClevelandBrowns.com, the Browns mobile app. And, of course, thanks for joining us on Facebook Live and Periscope. For Andrew Gribble, I'm Nathan Zagura saying we'll see you next week.